There we go. All right. First question.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Good,
How you
good.
doing?
I'm good, thank you.
I was wondering, Colossians 2:21, do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. I know at one of your teachings you discussed that before, but I was wondering, does that have any relation to Genesis 3:3 when Eve said the same thing that God told her? Do
Don't
not
even
hit, do not hit,
touch.
do not touch.
I can't say it does. I see what you're saying because we're wondering where did she get the don't even touch it. You know, he said, do not eat off the tree, but don't even touch it. But I don't think they are connected to each other. And what this verse is pertaining to is especially the pagans, and we see it today where we add other religious aspects to our Christian walk. And that's why he's saying, since you died with Christ to the basic principles of the world, why, as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules? And you still see Christians today doing worldly ways of being holy. And he's saying, why are you still doing that? And the most important thing about that verse is where he says, they're destined to perish. He says they really have no power. And I like how he says, where it is, here it is in verse 23, such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom. And that's what gets us. It look like, you've heard me say many times teaching on, you know, sometimes we'll raise our kids or do our walk in what's called avoidance. I don't watch this. I don't do this. I don't, you know, and I know that sounds good. In appearance, it even seems great, but based on God's word, is it? You know what I mean? So we got to be careful when we start applying human physical actions that are not God ordained as religious substitutes in there. So I don't think it really pertains to what Eve was saying. I don't think so. I don't see anything where it comes together. It's interesting that that's brought up, but I can't see that.
Okay, so Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous thrive, the people rejoice. When the wicked rule, the people groan. So I was wondering, how does that apply to Christians? Because they're not supposed to run for office or anything like that. So how would the righteous rule in order that the people would thrive?
We say 20, say it again,
Proverbs
Proverb
29:2.
29:2. Sorry, let me go there. So let me be clear on something first. Well, let me read it again. So when the righteous thrive, the people rejoice. When the wicked rule, the people groan. Okay. And it doesn't, well, first of all, I don't want to say Christians aren't allowed to run, but Christians better run as Christians. That's the key. You understand that? And none of the parties or anything out there right now are Christian. There's no foundation or structure out there that's Christian. Now, if a person came in and said, I'm going to mandate complete Christianity, the problem is you're now saying the spiritual thing to the world. So I wouldn't say you can't. I'm saying it probably wouldn't be wise because we're now trying to force a spiritual aspect to the world in that space. Now, with that said, what this is showing is when the righteous thrive, the people rejoice. It's showing us when the righteous are actually not necessarily ruling, but when things are being led by the righteous, those who are basically led by God, then the people rejoice because they're really going to get affected the way that they should, if that makes sense. But this is when the wicked rule, the people groan. And a lot of these don't always mean an outwardly thing. As you read, you know, more Proverbs and things of that sort, it's basically saying one is a better place to be. You really want the righteous to run things. Because on the outside, you'll hear people groan when the righteous are running things or when it's run in a righteous way. We just have never seen that. I hate to say it right now. We've never been in that mode. But that's, you know, when that time comes, it's going to, because it's the best for us, if that makes sense. While when the wicked rule, it may feel good, but it's a groaning in our lives and really causes problems.
So, like you said, we haven't seen that. We probably won't see it. Not the
No,
way
not,
you think right now.
yep, not until the millennium.
Right.
Yep.
Okay.
We
Our
almost
next
definitely
haircut.
won't see it. Yeah.
Thank you.
Other questions? Other questions? No other questions?
I'll ask the question about a life situation.
Okay.
So a group of people were friends were talking about taking a trip. And well, I'll just say what happened. So one of my friends wanted to know if I wanted to go with two other friends to visit a friend down in Charlotte. Okay. So they wanted to drive, and I said, well, it's too far and I can't drive that far, but I'll fly. So they said, well, let me get back to, the person and see what they want to do. So then my friend called me back and she says, well, she's talking about flying down now. So, call her, let her know, what you want to do. So then next thing I know, I get a text and saying, FYI, I've already bought my ticket, and I'm not going to rent a car. I'm going to get an Uber because it's close to our friend's house down there. So no pressure. And I'm thinking, well, why would you buy a ticket and not after the fact then tell, everybody else that you already got your ticket? So I was talking to one of my sisters. She said, well, I would, ask her about why she did that. I said, no, I'm not going to ask her because I know her personality too. I said, evidently, she probably didn't want to buy our tickets or didn't want to be in charge of buying our tickets or whatever. And so I said, so I just end up telling her that I wasn't going to be able to go and told her to have a nice time.
Okay.
So I was wondering if I should have handled it different.
Non-Christian.
Quote unquote Christian.
If they're truly a Christian, that's very important. And it's good that you know your audience. I'm glad you said you know the person. It's not a bad discussion to have. Once again, with the option, one thing we want to do is learn from each other that we're acting Christian. That's the most important part, not how the trip turned out and what the person should have done, because people are going to do what people are going to do. But if you see it in a Christian flaw that could be a stumbling block, then it would be a good conversation to have. Now, if it was something that was a misunderstanding that probably bothered you, that you didn't like, that you didn't care for, some of those things in this life, we just got to leave it alone. It's not worth it. It's not because it'll become trivial things. You know what I mean? You, like I said, you know how this person is. And I'm not saying so you want to always look for the Christian matter of, if this is truly a Christian, then you want to bring it to their attention on how they weren't being Christian. If it's anybody else, it's just going to bring up a discussion that's going to bring up tension. And if it's not going to solve anything spiritual, it's a waste of time in it. So it's better to kind of just leave well enough alone and move on. I think one thing that happens is we get distracted with some of these worldly events and how people make us feel. And, even if they mean it or if they don't mean it and what they did and how come they didn't think of me and so on and so forth. And like I said, it puts the attention back on us. And you could be in a worldly sense 100% right, but spiritually, that's why he says, I need you to deny yourself. You know what I mean? It to us is immediately, okay, no problem. You know what I mean? You'll learn to start blowing things off in the sense of, I would like to go. If I can, I'll go in this cases, but just like you did. No, that's okay. I can't go. So thank you. Y'all have a good time and move on. No hard feelings. And move on. So I think you did right by just leaving it alone. If they were truly a Christian and you've seen it being a stumbling block, then definitely you want to bring it to their attention sometime in the future.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. Other question.
So what's the difference between, or is there a difference between professing faith and living faith?
Very good. Professing faith could be dead. That could be that person that says they're a Christian that they're not. But even though when they say they're a Christian, we got to treat them that way. That's why 1 Corinthians 5:9 is somebody who calls himself a brother in a sense, however, but recognizing that they're not. That's what you know them by their fruit. So when somebody professes faith, which a lot of Christians do today, they'll say they have faith. That's why James 2 says faith without works is dead. If I'm not living that faith, then I don't believe, because faith in action is belief, as it says in James 2. So people who profess faith, that's just a first start. And now it has to be displayed.
Okay. So it's shown through, it's not what they say, but it's how they live and their actions. Exactly. And that's what you look at.
Exactly. And the purpose.
Okay.
Sometimes now, like I said, two people can do the same thing and one's a Christian, one's not. And that's why the talking, sometimes the conversation, you'll get to hear more of it and you'll get to see it, because why did you do that? If I did something and I did it for my kids and somebody else did and they did it for God, the person who did it for God is good. The person who did it for their kids is in danger and their kids are in danger. even though they did the same thing, because you're driven by the wrong thing. The only thing that should drive every Christian is God. That's faith. Faith can only be in God. It can't be in structures. It can't be in family. It can't be in things that we think are wholesome. That's why Paul said, whatever was to my profit, profit, I now consider a loss. And he was saying, all that stuff I got to let go in order to have Christ. Now, all those things now can really go through what is really valuable, which is Christ.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. Other questions?